Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Nun Gimel. We left off Nun Beis, Amud Beis, at the last line of the Amud, the two dots, Nafa Lefanav. Today's shiur, sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LeHashalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and captives. We thank both sponsors very, very much for their sponsorship of the shiur. So today we are going to cover two primary topics. Today is an excellent lawyer's daf. We're going to start off with talking about the story about the shor that falls into the pit because it's startled by the sound of banging in the pit. And we're going to see, did it fall frontward? Did it fall forward? Did it fall backwards? And this is going to hinge on the machlokas that we've already been discussing over the past couple of lots, as to what exactly is it about a pit that causes death. Is it the foul air in the pit, or is it the impact that the animal makes when it hits the bottom of the pit? If it's the foul air, then one would be liable only if the shor fell facing forward, because that's the only way that the shor would take in the foul air. It would breathe it in. If, however, it fell on its back, in order to be chayiv, you would have to say that the liability for the bar rests not in the foul air, but rather in the chavata, and the impact that it causes when the animal hits the ground. So we're going to see a lot about that. And then the second part of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, leading, following through the entirety of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, is going to talk all about the sugya of several liability versus joint and several liability. So what happens when you have joint tortfeasors and each one is liable? So how do we view the whole concept of a joint tortfeasor in the Talmud? Is it that we say each person is responsible for half of the total liability, of the aggregate liability? Do we say each person is responsible for the entire liability, but each one only has to pay half because the person who was damaged is not entitled to be compensated more than once? And the nafkamina is, how far do we ratchet up each tortfeasor's liability to the extent the other one doesn't pay? If each one is obligated only in half, then lechora, he should never be obligated to pay for more than half of the total damage caused. If, however, we view each tortfeasor as being liable for the whole thing, then whenever the victim doesn't get to claim from one of the tortfeasors, he gets to collect from the other tortfeasor. That's what we call joint and several liability. Okay, so with that, we will start with Nun Beis, Amud Beis, the last line on the Amud. So Nafa Lefanav. Some are Rav, so says Rav, lefanav mamish, that Rav says that when we say that the shor falls face forward, it literally means face forward, and that the liability of a bar is because of hevel, it's because of the foul air in the bar, la'achrav mamish. When we say that it falls backwards, literally we mean that it falls on its back, and vizeh bibar. And they're both talking about a case of the shor falling into the pit. Meaning that the only time the balabor is going to be chayiv is where the shor falls forward, because Rav says that the balabor is chayiv for hevel, for the foul air of the pit. When the shor falls backwards, meaning on its back into the pit, and it doesn't breathe in the foul air, the balabor is going to be pater, because again, he's chayiv only for havala, not for chavata. So Rav Latameh, and the Gemara says this expressly. The Amar Rav, Bar Shechive, Lav Torah, Lav Ola, Vola, Lachavoto. It's for the hevel of the bar, but not for the chibut, not for the impact that the animal experiences when it falls to the bottom of the pit. Ushmuel Amar, Bebar, Bein Milafanav, Bein Milachrav Chayiv. Shmuel says, no. If the animal falls into the pit, the balabar is going to be chayiv whether it falls forward or whether it falls backward. Says the Gemara, Shmuel etame, diyamar lahavo lavacholshkein lachavato. And Shmuel goes according to his own reason, because he says that if an animal falls into a pit, the reason the balabar is chayiv is both because of hevel, but kolshkein because of chibut. In other words, you're definitely chayiv because of the impact that the animal experiences when it hits the bottom, of the pit. So it says Tosfos over here, Tosfos Dibra Maskel Shmuel Tamei on top, Vim Tomar, Dilma Kimichaye Bechavoto, Haine Kashin's Kalabar, Aval Hacha Akriya Gorem Lolipol, Vigam Nechvat Bekarka Olam, Baha Havi Potter. So it says Tosfos, why is it so pasha that according to Shmuel, in this case, the actual fact pattern that we're talking about now in the Gemara, that the balabar would be chayiv? It could be that, yeah, generally you're right, the balabar is chayiv for chibut, the balabar is chayiv if an animal falls in and experiences an impact with the bottom of the pit, he's going to be chaya. But over here, what's the reason the animal fell into the pit? The animal didn't just stumble into the pit. The animal was startled because somebody was banging with a hammer inside the bar. And that's what caused the animal to startle and to lurch backward and fall into the pit. So maybe in that case, I might think, it's not the bar, it was the kolakriya. Now, yeah, of course, the animal hit the dirt on the bottom of the bar, but that's karka olam, so maybe I would think to potter him. So it says the Gemara, v'yesh lomer, the shapar avi l'tamei, d'ashkan d'mechai b'chavata, k'shnichvat al yidei ma'asav. No, because the chibot is al yidei ma'asav. In other words, the grama was because of the kolakriya. The actual chibot is because the guy took a pit. Had the guy not took a pit, there would not be any impact when the animal lands on the bottom of the pit. And therefore, yeah, according to Shmuel, regardless of what caused the accident, regardless of what caused the animal to fall into the pit, once the animal falls into the pit, the balabor is going to be chayav for chibot, for the impact that happens when the shor hits the bottom of the pit. And therefore, according to Shmuel, the balabor is going to be chayav regardless of whether the animal falls face forward or whether it falls backwards. But says the Gemara, that leaves us with a problem, because Elahei Chidami La'achra Mikola Kriya Potter, because our Mishnah told us, if it falls Lafana Mikola Kriya, you're going to be Chayev. La'achra Mikola Kriya, you're going to be Potter. But if according to Shmuel, I'm Chayev for Hevel and I'm Chayev for Chibot, I should be Chayev whether it falls face forward or whether it falls on its back. So says the Gemara, could go to Nitzkal Babar, Benafal La'achore Abar Chutz Labar. Ah, the time where you're Potter, if you fall backwards, is if you stumble near the pit, because of the kolachriya, because of the sound of the digging in the pit, and then you don't fall into the pit, but you fall backwards outside the pit. In that scenario, you are going to be potter, because you never fell into the pit altogether. Says the Gemara Vayter, Esve, the bar, that if we're dealing with a case of, when we're dealing with a case of bar, bein lafanav, bein la'achrav chayev, your chayev, whether the balabar, meaning is chayev, whether the animal falls face forward or whether the animal falls backwards. Says the Gemara, it's yufta de Rav, it's a kashan Rav, because Rav who said that you're chayev by bar only for hevel, the halacha should be that you're chayev only if you fall forward, not if you fall backwards. So, Amar Rav Chista, mode Rav, bibar bershuso de chayev, that Rav admits that by a bar in his reshus yir chayev, mishum di amar lemi manafshach, iba vala meis havala didachu, iba chavata meis chavata didachu. Ah, so how do we interpret this brisa that told us that yir chayev, whether the animal falls forward or backwards? We're not dealing with a bar b'shus or rabin, we're dealing with a bar in your reshus. Therefore, a manafshach, if you're going to be chayev for hevel, you own the hevel, you own the foul air in the pit. If you're going to be chayev for chibot, you own the bottom of the pit because it's in your reshus, and therefore, of course, you're going to be chayev in either case if it is in your private property. So Rabba Amar, Rabba says, no, we misunderstood the entire case. When we say that it fell on its back, it doesn't mean that it fell on its back, like literally the whole time it was like back toward the ground when it was falling. Really, it started falling when it was facing the bottom of the pit. It did a flip in the air, and then once it fell to the bottom, it landed on its back. So, da havala da hanibe a hanibe. So it did suck in, it did breathe in the foul air of the pit. And Rashi points out that initial breath of foul air, while it was falling face first, contributed to the sickness of the animal and caused the animal's death. It was a contributory factor to the animal's death. Now, says the Gemara, another interpretation, that we're not talking about the damage that is caused to the animal by the pit. Rabbi Yosef Amar Hacha Benizke Bar Bishar Askinan. We're talking about the damage to the pit that's caused by the animal. What kind of damage to the pit is caused by the animal when the animal falls into the pit? So says the Gemara, so my niyu, what is that? Shehivish es meimav, that when the animal fell into the pit, it ruined the water that was inside the pit. Deloshna lefanav, veloshna la'achrav, mechayim. It doesn't matter whether the animal falls forward or backward, the Baal Hashor is going to be chayiv in either case. Why? And says Rashi, we have to be talking about the type of pit that's in somebody's private property, and the owner wasn't mafkir the pit, and he wasn't mafkir the land outside the pit either. And the reason that the Baal HaShor is going to be chayiv is because his shor was trespassing. So because his shor was trespassing and then wound up ruining the water inside the pit, the guy's going to be chayiv regardless of whether the animal falls face first or whether the animal falls on his back. Doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara in Avaiter. Tani, Rav Chananya l'siyue l'rav. So Rav Chananya brings a raya to Rav. V'nafal, Rav is the one who said that you're chayev for hevel, and therefore you're chayev only when the animal falls face forward. So if it says v'nafal at sheyipol derech nefila, that the only time the balabar is going to be chayev is if the animal falls derech nefila. And derech nefila, Rashi points out, is face first. Why? Because Rashi says, rov animals, when they fall face first. So if you're going to be chayev only derech nefila, that means you're going to be chayev only when they fall face first. So mikan amru, nafal lefanav mikola kriya chayev, la'achra mikola kriya potter. From there we know that because it's benafal achipol derech hanofel, that you're going to be chayev only when you fall like most animals fall, which is face first. You're going to be potter if the animal falls backwards. Says the Gemara Vayter. Amar mar. Nafal lefana mekola kriya chayev. That if the animal falls face first from the kola kriya, the balabar is going to be chayev. Says the Gemara Vamai, name of kura garim la. Why is the balabar chayev at all? Let's say that it was the kura, it was the digger who caused the damage. So Amar Rav Simi Barashi, Hamani Rav Nasan he. That's Rav Nasan. Diyamar Balabar Hezeka Ka'avid, that the Balabar also contributed to the negligence. He also contributed to the damage, rather, because it was his pit into which the animal fell. So Rav Nasan is the one who teaches us the concept of joint and several liability, meaning the animal was damaged. So the owner of the animal has to be compensated. You're going to say, really, it's the digger's fault. But we can't hold the digger accountable. We're going to see why in a second. So, and because we can't hold the digger accountable, we hold accountable the one who also contributes to the damage, i.e. the Baal Habar. And we can't hold the digger accountable, says Rashi, because he only caused the damage. That's called the Grumma Benezikin. Grubba Menezikin is potter, so we can't hold the guy who was digging accountable. The only person we could hold accountable here is the owner of the pit. Rashi also makes the obvious point, which he made already a couple of blot ago when we were first introduced to this case. He says we're dealing with a situation where the digger and the balabar are not the same people. Because otherwise, there's no nafkaminas. The digger chayv is the balabar chayv, they're the same person. So as we saw when we learned the Mishnah, we're dealing about a case where the balabar dug a pit, and now somebody else is simply in the pit trying to expand the pit. And also, we have to be talking about a situation. We can't be talking about where the balabar authorized the kora to dig the pit initially in the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, because then we wouldn't say the kora is chayev at all, because ain shliach l'dvar aveira. Okay, so Rashi points out again the way we have been assuming that this case worked based on our reading of the Mishnah, that there was an existing pit, somebody was widening the pit, somebody was expanding the pit, he's the kura, you can't hold him accountable because he's only a grum of an ezekin, and because you can't hold him accountable, Rav Nosson says, under the principle of joint and several liability, if I can't collect from A, I collect from B in order to compensate the person who sustained the damage. Says the Gemara now Vayter, and now we're going to really get into this notion of joint and several liability, and we're going to be introduced to the Shita of Rav Nasan. The Tanya, Shar Shadachaf es Chavero Labar. So you have a Shar who pushes an other Shar into a bar. So Bala Shar Chayev, Bala Bar Pater. So the Tanakhama says, well, whose fault is it? It's the fault of the Shar that pushed the other Shar into the bar. The Bala Bar didn't do anything. In other words, had it not been for the Shar that pushed the other Shar into the bar, the other Shar would have been safe. So therefore, the Tanakhama says, the Bala Shor is going to be Chayiv, the Bala Bar is going to be Potter. Rav Nosson Amar, Bala Shor Meshaleh Mechsa, Bala Bar Meshaleh Mechsa. No. The Bala Shor pays for half of the damage, the Bala Bar pays for half of the damage. V'atanya, but we have another brisa that says, Rav Nosson Amar, Bala Bar Meshaleh Gimel Chalakim, Ubala Shor Revia, that the Bala Bar pays 3/4 of the damage, and the Bala Shor pays 1/4 of the damage. So which is it? Rav Nosson, so we know Rav Nosson argues on the Tanakhama, because whereas the Tanakhama ascribes no liability to the Balabar, Rav Nosson says, yes, the Balabar is liable. The question is, does the Balabar have to pay 50% of the damage, or does he have to pay 75% of the damage? So what's the reason for the discrepancy in the Shita of Rav Nosson? So Lokasha Habatam Abamuad. So one is a case where the shor is a shor tam. The other is a case where the shor is a shor muad. Right, so presumably in the case where the shor is a shor muad, he's paying 50%, and where the shor is a shor tam, he's paying only 25%. The question is, why is that? Says the Gemara, uvitam maik savar. What exactly does he hold? Like, what underpins his shita where he says that the bala shor is chayev for 50% and the bala bor is chayev for 50%? Ik savar haikule azeka avid. V'haikule azeka avid. If we say, if his shita is, that technically speaking, they're both entirely responsible. They're both responsible for the entire hezek, and therefore, haimashalim palga, v'haimashalim palga. Then both of them should pay half. V'ik savar, haipalga hezeka avid, v'haipalga hezeka avid. And if he holds that, no, they're not both entirely responsible, no, but they're not both responsible for the entire hezek, each one rather is responsible for 50% of the hezek, then balabar mishalim palga ubala shor ravia. So if the shor is a shor tam pays chatzi nezek, so he should pay half of what he ordinarily would have to pay. Ordinarily he would have to pay 50% of the damage, because Rav Nosson says that each one is responsible for 50%. So if the bala shor, if the shor is a shor tam, the bala shor should only pay for 50% of the 50%, i.e. 25%. And the person who sustained the damage should lose out on the other 25%. So why is it that the bala bar would ever have to pay 75% to make up for the bala shor only having to pay 25%? If they're both responsible for half of the damage, If the owner of the injured animal can't collect from the bala shor, he should be out of luck. Why should the bala bar overcompensate in order to pay the damaged party? So Amar Rava, Rabbi Nosson Dainu, because Rabbi Nosson is a judge, v'nachas l'umka d'dina, and he delves into the depth of the din. This is like a very interesting type of praise that the Gemara gives Rav Nosson. So the Mefarshim explain that this comes to teach us that because Rav Nosson was an expert dayan and delves into the umka d'dina, that the halacha follows Rav Nosson not only when he's cholik on a yachid, but also when he's cholik on a rabin. Like over here, when he's cholik on the chachamim, the halacha would still be like Rav Nosson. All right, so we know that Rav Nosson's a master judge, but what exactly is his shita? So says the Gemara, three lines down in the wide lines, Liolam ksavar haikula hezeka avid vaikula hezeka avid. So really he holds that each one is obligated for the entire hezek. How come they don't both pay the entire hezek? Because the victim is only entitled to be compensated once. So really, they're each entitled for the, they're each responsible, rather, for the entire hezek. And if you're going to ask, why should each one pay half? Mishum di amar le balashor le balabar, because the balashor could say to the balabar, shutfasai mayahanili. If I have to pay more than half, says the balashor, what is the shutfis with you? Help me. In other words, I would never have to pay more than half. Yiboa sema. Says the Gemara. No, maybe you don't have to say that they're each obligated to pay for the entire damage. That's sort of like a weird concept anyway, that you're going to say that they're both entitled to pay, they're both responsible to pay for the entire damage. There was one unit of damage caused, and let's say there were two contributing factors. So the way it works in contributory negligence is that they're not both responsible for everything. Between the two of them, they're responsible to make up the entire damage. And that's what the Gemara says now. So Yiboa Seima, Liolam Ksavar, Hai Palga Zekavid, Vai Palga Zekavid. That they both are responsible for half of the damage. Udikakashalach balabar mishalim palga ubalashar mishalim ravia or vidach ravia nafsid. I know if they're each responsible for half the damage and we're dealing with a shor tam, then the shor should only pay for half the damage that he's responsible for. So he should only pay for 25% of the damage, and the victim should lose the other 25%. Why would we make the balabar step up and overcompensate his share and pay for the share that the balashar, which is a shor tam, is off the hook for? Says the Gemara, Mishum de Amar Le Balashar, the balabar, because the balashar says to the balabar, Ana Teroi bebircha ashkachte. Over here, when we talk about the Baal HaShor, we're not referring to the shor that was involved in the accident. That was involved in causing the accident. We're talking about the Baal. We're talking about the Nizek. We're talking about the Baal HaShor, whose shor is found at the bottom of the guy's pit. So it says the Gemara, at katalte, my disle l'shalum me'ayich mishtalma, my delesle l'shalum me'ayich mishtalma mimach, mimcha. That whatever I could collect from the other guy, fine, I'll collect from the other guy. However, what I can't collect from the other guy, I'm going to collect from you. That's the concept of joint and several liabilities. So even though technically speaking, each one should only have to pay 50% because there's $100 worth of damage, they're joint tortfeasors, they're jointly and severally liable, so each one initially should have to pay 50%. However, if there's a reason why one of them doesn't have to pay the 50%, the other one has to overcompensate and pay the 75%. And that explains our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, where the shor was nafal afanam mikola kriya, so the Baal HaBor could say to the person who was digging, why should I be responsible to have to pay for the entire shor, for all the damage that was caused? You, the guy who was digging, should also be responsible. But the guy who was digging was only a grum of an Ezekin, so he's not obligated to pay. So if the kura is not obligated to pay, we're going to make the Baal HaBor pay for the entire damage. And so again, that explains our Mishnah. So it says that, so there's an interesting Tosfos here, Liolam, the Tosfos on the bottom, says Liolam Ksavar Hai Palga Niska Anotaroi Bibircha Ashkachisei. So it says Tosfos Vim Tomar Kibun the Palga Niska Avad, so my Svarihizu, the Mishum the Eshkech the Ashkache Babar, Mishalem Yosar Mimasha Hizik. That in other words, says Tosfos, I get it. The shor, the dead shor, is in the bottom of the bar. But you just told me the starting premise here, the starting point, is that each one is responsible for only 50% of the damage. So if each one is only responsible for 50% of the damage, so says Tosfos, I just don't understand the way this concept of joint and several liability works. My liability should be capped at 50%. Why would I ever have to step up and pay more than 50%? So Vayarotza Rila Faresh, and the Re wanted to explain, Dachi Kamar, Hai Palgo Azeka Ovid, Bealma, Kigon Bishne Shvarim Sheheziku. That, yeah, in other words, the 50% damage is, let's say there was like a 3-car accident. There were two Shvarim, and both Shvarim, they closed in on another Shor, and they both caused that middle Shor damage. Okay, so then each guy could say that I'm responsible for only 50%. Aval halcha b'shar shadachav chaveru labar habar kuli azeka avid k'damar at katalte debevir cheshkachise ulakach ma'ida lesle l'shalum eminach b'shalum eminach. So the Re thought to say, because the 50% cap is, it makes sense, it's mistaber only when there were two other people who caused an accident, but the dead shor is not lying in somebody's possession. Over here, the dead shor is lying in the guy's bar, so therefore the Baal HaShor who is dead, the Baal HaShor that's dead, has the ability to say to the Baal HaBor, what do you mean you're only chai for 50%? My dead shor is on the bottom of your pit, therefore you got to pay me the entire thing. So, says Tosfos of a Chazar Bari may perish there. The Re, however, backed off from this interpretation. Why? Dimke Muad l'Rav Nosan, because by a sure Muad, according to Rav Nosan, Amay Mashaleh Mechza, why would he have to pay only half? Ki Echid Mahani Shutfus Labar, She'ein Abar Mashaleh Elachatzi, Mima She'izik, Kamo Ken Yol Shutfus Abar, L'Shor, V'le Yashaleh Mashor Mechza, that he shouldn't even have to pay 50%. In other words, because if the Muad only pays his full share of the damage, and the full share of the damage is 50%, then why can't he say to the Baal HaBor, if I have to pay 50% anyway, so how do I benefit by being a joint tortfeasor with you? I still got to pay the full amount that I have to pay. Ubatam nami ikalak shos amay mashalim revia. Al korchak nira debar nami palganizka avad. Umishim shagomar ahezik vidome kamishas haskulo. Says the Re, now the way the Re ultimately understands it, it's not that the Baal HaBor is deemed as having committed the entire damage. The Baal HaBor is deemed as having committed only 50% of the damage. Why then would he ever have to be responsible for paying more than 50%? because look at the evidence. The empirical evidence is that the dead body, the carcass, is in your bar, and that's why, just for that alone, in other words, that was the gemar hezek. Not that it caused the entire hezek, but that's where the body is. And since that's the scene of the crime, you might have to pay more than 50%. That's the way the Ri ultimately understands this, according to Tosfos. Okay, so again, let's go weiter. So what's important to keep in mind is that Rav Nosson had this concept of joint tortfeasors, that where there were two contributors to Hezek, both of them are going to be chayiv. Moreover, Rav Nosson taught us this concept of joint and several liability, that we need to make sure that the damaged party gets paid 100% of what he's owed. And if he can't collect from one of the parties, he gets to over-collect from the other party. Says the Gemara now, Vayter at the two dots, five lines up from the bottom. So Amar Rava, Miniach Even al Pia Bar, if a person puts an Even on top of a bar, Uba Ashar V'nitzkal Bav V'nuffal B'bar, and a shark stumbles on the rock, which was placed, the stone which was placed right outside the bar, and trips and falls into the bar, Banu L'machlokes Rav Nosson V'Rabbanan. So we have now come to the Machlokes of Rav Nosson and the Rabbanan. Now, according to the Rabbanan, the Bala Even is going to be chayiv to pay for the entire damage, says Rashi, because the shor stumbled on the stone, and therefore the stone is what caused the damage. The Bala Even is going to be chayiv to pay. The Bala Bar is going to be putter. However, according to Rav Nosson, and Rashi also points out that isn't the guy who put the Even there, isn't he only guilty of Grumma Benazikin? Because he only caused the damage. So says Rashi, no, because his Evan is considered to be a bar, and therefore that's considered to be Hezek B'Yadayim. But according to Rav Nosson says, well, they both contributed. The Bala Evan contributed because the shor stumbled on his Evan. The Bala Bar contributed because the dead shor wound up at the bottom of the pit, and therefore they both contributed, therefore they're both going to have to pay. Says that's what the Gemara says. The Banam Lachlokas Rav Nosson V'Rabbanan. Says the Gemara Pshita, yeah, of course, you just told me that according to the Chachamim, only the first person who caused the damage is going to be chayiv to pay. Rav Nosson says that they're both chayiv. And furthermore, we have this Rav Nosson Shita about joint and several liability. That's what we were just learning the entire bottom half of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, no, Ma'al Detema, Ahasamud Amar, Balabar Labalashar. Over there, in the other case, the Balabar could say to the Balashar, in other words, in the first case that we have been discussing, where a shark comes, pushes another shark into the bottom of the pit, say, Ilav Bira Didi, we're not from my pit, Tura Didach Avikatale, that your ox would have killed him anyway, because your ox wound up happening to push the other ox into the bottom of the pit. And so, yeah, it really died because of my pit. But let's be serious. If it were not for my pit, your ox just would have gored the other ox to death anyway. And therefore, Aval Hacha, Matsi Amarle, Bala Evan, La Bala Bar, but over here, the Bala Evan could say to the Bala Bar, Ilav Bira Didach, were it not for your pit, Avne Didi, Mayav Avdi. What would my rock have done? Iyavi Mitkobai. Let's say you would have said the shor would have stumbled on the rock. Okay, have enough of a call. You would have fell on the ground and he would have gotten up. The only reason why there's any damage is because of your pit, Kamash Malan. The Kamash Malan that the Bala Bar could say back to the Bala Evan, Yamar Le, Ilav Evan Lo Avi Nafalabira. Were it not for your rock, were you not for your stone, you never would have fallen into the pit altogether. And therefore, that's a reason to be mechayiv both of them in this hezek. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Itmar, turning to Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Shor v'shor psuli amikdashim shen nagchu. If you have a shor and a shor psuli amikdashim who gored together, so Abaya Omar Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. Abaya says that the shor which is not a shor psuli amikdashim should have to pay chatzi nezek. Ravina Omar Mishalem Ravia Nezek. Ravina says that the shor, and by the way, a shor psulei mikdashin, he doesn't have to pay because it's not really considered to be sharei. It's partially sharei. We'll see exactly what the status of a shor psulei mikdashin is later in the yamid. So, but the point is that the shor who is not a shor psulei mikdashin, the regular shor, has to pay chatzi nezek according to Abaya. Ravina amar mishalem ravia nezek, and Ravina says that he has to pay one quarter of the nezek, ha vaha betam. And they're both dealing with a shor tam, but ha karabanan vaha karabnasan. but one is like the Rabbanan, and one is like Rav Nassan. And Rashi points out that Abaye says he has to pay Chatzi Nezek, the Balashar, and the rest, the damaged party loses out, and we're dealing with a short tam, and he holds like Rav Nassan, who says that what I can't collect from the other guy, I'm going to collect from you, and therefore he has to pay Chatzi Nezek as if he didn't have a partner, right? That's what Rav Nassan says. Rav Nassan says, we ignore the fact that you have a partner, and you have to pay the maximum amount. Now, here, the maximum amount is not 100% of the damage, because he's only a short tom, so the max that he's ever going to have to pay is 50%, but he has to pay 50%. However, Ravina holds, like the Rabbanan, and he holds that you only have to pay 50% because you have a partner, you're only chai, and you're a short tom, so you should l'chora only have to pay, whatever you ordinarily have to pay, which is half of 50%, which is going to be 25%. And the Rabbanan don't hold like Rav Nassan that you have to make up for the amount that the damaged party can collect from the other guy. Says the Gemara, Ibo Asema, Havak Rabbanan. Maybe they could both be talking in the Shita of the Rabbanan. Habitam, Habimuad. And one's talking about a Tam, one's talking about a Muad. In other words, when do you have to pay 50%? When you're a short Muad. That's why you pay all of what your Chalak is. When you're a short Tam, you only pay half of what your Chalak is 25%. Ikadamri, the others say like this, Abaye Amar Chatzi Nezek. Abaye says you have to pay Chatzi Nezek. Ravina Amar Kula Nezek. Oh, you have to pay everything. Havahab Muad, and they're both talking about a Muad, Hakrabanan Vakrav Nassan. Abai is going like the Rabbanan, and therefore he says, by a Muad, you've got to pay all of your Chalak. Your Chalak is 50%. You don't have to make up for the other guy's damage. Ravina holds like Rav Nassan, because of joint and several liability, you have to pay your full amount, and if the other guy is judgment-proof because it's a sharp Suleim Akdashin, you're going to have to step up for his Chalak as well. Iba Asema Havak Rav Nassan. Or maybe you could say that both Brises, or both Shitas, are going according to Rav Nassan, Habamuad Vahabatam. And one is by a Shor Amuad, and one is by a Shor Tam. So by a Shor Tam, you would have to pay Revia, and by a Muad, you have to pay half. Okay. So by a Muad you have to pay all, and by a Tam you have to pay 50% because we're talking about Rav Nassan. Okay, good. So says the Gemara Navaiter. So Amar Rava, Shor Adam Shadachvo Labar. If you have a Shor and a person who push a Shor into a pit, so Rashi points out now there are three responsible parties. There's the Shor, there's the Adam, and there's the Bar, because they got together and collectively they pushed something into a pit, and that thing was damaged at the bottom of the pit. Now, Lini Nizikin, according to Lini Nizakin, Kulan Chayavin, they're all going to be Chayav. Now, what scenario are we talking about? So Rashi points out, Lini Nizikin, it's about halfway down the Amud, Kigon Imdachvu Sham Adam, if they pushed a person into the pit, Vuhuzak, and the person was damaged, Mishalem Bein Kulan Piches Damav, that between the three of them, they all have to come up with an amount that's sufficient to pay for the devaluation of the person, for the damage caused to the person. The Kulan Chayavim in Iskei Adam, because everybody's Chayav in Iskei Adam. The Kaimelon Legabe Bar, Sharvelo Adam, Aina, that which we said by a pit, that the Balabar is only Chayav if an animal falls into the pit, not if a person falls into the pit, says Rashi, no, that's only Bektola Kaimelon, Kigon Imnafalatocho Eved Vemes, Avol Benazikin Chayav. However, by Nezikin, if a person falls into a pit and is damaged, the Balabar is going to be Chayiv. Uchad Rav Nassan Idzalo Azel Basar Dechifa Lechudei. And this is obviously the Shita Rav Nassan, who says that we're not only going to impose liability on the one who pushes the thing into the pit, we're going to impose liability also on the Balabar itself, because he contributed, obviously, to the damage that has happened. So let's say you have a person and a Shar who get together and they push another person into a pit, and that person is injured. Between the three of them, they have to compensate the person for his damages. Now, linyan arba dvarim, linyan tsar ripui sheves and boshes, udmei vlados, and also dmei vlados, let's say they pushed a woman into the pit, and the woman, rachmana litzlan, had a miscarriage. So adam chayev, the person is going to be chayev, vishar ubar pater, and the shar and the bar are going to be pater, because the Gemara darshan earlier that ishba amito velo shar ba amito, that only a person is responsible for abra dvarim and also dmei vlados, not a shar. And we had the same limud by the Arba Dvarim and also by Dmei Vlados. And a bar, we never find this chaya for Arba Dvarim, because a bar doesn't cause tsar ripui sheves boshes. The bar doesn't intend to embarrass anybody. And the bar is not chaya for Dmei Vlados either. Again, the whole parsha of Dmei Vlados, where you have these two people in a fist fight and one guy intends to punch another guy and instead punches a woman and causes a woman to have a miscarriage. Okay, so that's lenient Arba Dvarim and lenient Dmei Vlados. Lenient Kofar, let's say the person died, Ushloshim Shaleved, or the Shloshim Shaleved, the 30 shekel knas, if you kill an Eved, it's a Shar Chayev, the Shar is going to be Chayev, and Adam Ubar Pturin, the person and the bar are going to be Pater. The bar is going to be Pater because it says Shar Velo, the bar is going to be Pater because, again, the Balabar is Chayev for death only if it's a shor. The balabar is not chayev for the death of a person in his bar. And the reason that the adam who pushes the other person into the pit is going to be pater is because he's chayev misa, because he caused another person's death by pushing him down and by pushing him off a cliff. And therefore, he's not going to be chayev to make the kofar payment because he's chayev misa alts kumle b'derabamine. So says the Gemara Vayter, linyan kalim, Le'inyan Kalim, Legabe Kalim, let's say if Kalim broke inside this pit, Visharp Suli Amikdoshin, or if there's a Sharp Suli Amikdoshin that got damaged inside this pit, Zadam Vishar Chayavin, Adam and Shar are going to be chayav for the damage that they cause for the Sharp Suli Amikdoshin or to the Kalim, Ubar Potter, and the bar is going to be, Potter. So why is the bar going to be Potter? So first of all, it says that the Adam is going to be, the Adam and the Shar are going to be Chayev because it's considered to be Sharei Eyu. The Balabar is going to be Potter for a reason that we're going to see right away, because there is an exclusion in the Psukim that teach me that the Balabar is going to be Potter. But again, what this is all about is wherever there are multiple people who contribute to damage, they're each obligated to pay. Like Rav Nosson, we don't follow only the initial cause of the damage. They're each obligated to pay. And further, like Rav Nosson, although this is not expounded on in this brisa, to the extent one of them is judgment proof or collection proof, you have to make up, and he gets to collect from the other people. So says the Gemara, my time, why is the bar putter? Why is the balabar putter for the sharp suli mikdashim? Zamar krav amesli yellow. B'misha meshalo, because the balabar is only chayev for damage caused to a shar, legabe which the pasuk v'mes yelo is applicable, and that applies only when the mace is his, and that is not the case by a sharp suli amikdashin, because by a sharp suli amikdashin there's an isser of giza, there's an isser of avoda, and therefore says Rashi, ein podenes ektashin lachilon leklavim, you cannot do whatever you want with a carcass. And because you're not free to do whatever you want with a carcass, we don't apply vamesia lo, and therefore the balabar is going to be potter. Yotzeze sheina mesha lo. Says the Gemara Lameimra, the Pshita Le Rava. Is this pashut according to Rava? Vamiboy by Rava. Vamiboy by Le Rava. But I thought Rava had a kasha about this. The boy Rava, because Rava had a kasha. Sharp Suli Mekdashin, Shnafalabar. If you have a sharp Suli Mekdashin that fell into a pit, Mahu. What is the din? Is the balabar going to be chayev or not? How do we interpret the pasuk of Amesi Elo? Hai Vamesi Elo, B'misha Amesi Elo, Yosazeh Shein Amesi Elo. Does Vamesi Elo mean the balabar is going to be chayev only when the animal that was killed is an animal that the owner could do whatever he wants with the carcass, and here the owner can't do whatever he wants with the carcass, and therefore the balabar is going to be potter? Adilma Vamesi Elo, L'bain L'metaplim B'nevelo Diyasa. Or maybe Vamesielo simply comes to teach me that the Nizek has to deal with an Avela. What does it mean that the Nizek has to deal with an Avela? That the Nizek, the damaged party, has to schlep the Avela out from the bottom of the pit. He has to sell it, and whatever money he makes, we take the difference between that amount that he made for the Avela and the amount that the animal would have been worth alive, and that difference is what the Balabar has to pay. So says the Gemara, Basar Dibaya had to pasha. Yeah, he had a kasha, but then he figured it out. So he figured it out, and he interpreted Vamesi Elo to teach me that the Balabar is only going to be chayiv when the animal that's damaged is an animal that the owner could do whatever he wants with a carcass. So in that case, how does he know the halacha baila metaplim benevela? How does he know that it's on the nizik to go schlep the nevela up from the bottom of the pit and to sell it and to deal with it to try to compensate himself for part of the damage caused? How does he know that halacha? Because it also says by shor vamesi elo. So says the Gemara, my chazes to vamesi elo deshor mafkase lebalam metaplim v'nevela. How do you know that that vamesi elo that it says by shor comes to teach me that the nizek has to deal with the nevela vamesi elo debar mafkase lemisha meshalo, and the mesi elo that said by a pit comes to teach me the ptur that the balabar is going to be potter by a sharp psulia mektashin efechana. Maybe it's the opposite. In other words, maybe from the Amesielo by a bar, I shall learn that Bailam Metaplim Benevela. And Vamesielo Bashar, I shall learn the exclusion of Sharp Sulia Mekdashin, meaning that if a Sharp Sulia Mekdashin fell into a pit, the Balabar would be Chayev. Says the Gemara, no, Mistabra Ptur Gabe Bar. It's Mistabra that he's Potter by Bar, Hola Potter Bar Sakalim. Because you know what else you're not chayav for? You know what else you're potter for if you're a balabar? If kalim get damaged in a pit, so too you should be potter if the sharp sulei mekdashim gets damaged in the pit. But says the Gemara, adaraba, p'tur gabe shor, shekein potter bo chatzi nezek. No, but there's a bigger reason to say that a balashar should be potter if his shor gores a sharp sulei mekdashim. Because we see instances where a balashar is potter anyway. What's a balashar potter from? Balashar is potter from Chatzi Nezek if it's a short time. But says the Gemara, Bakuli Nizek mi elo ashkechan. But we never see a case where the Balashar is altogether off the hook. At maximum, he's only going to be off the hook for 50%. However, by bar, we see another case where the Balabar is off the hook. For Kalim, he doesn't have to pay for Kalim. So just like he doesn't have to pay for Kalim, so too, he also doesn't have to pay for the damage that is caused to a Shar Psulei Amikdashin. All right, so we'll stop here. My Reinu is back tomorrow, but only for tomorrow. So I'm back on Wednesday and Thursday. So he'll pick up tomorrow. Mr. Zucker, with apologies, Boxing Day, we do start at the regular time, 6:15 a.m. What can you do? But everybody have a wonderful day. We will learn together again Wednesday. Again, my Reinu back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.